Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, January 4, 2024, 1 John.
You know, some of you are thinking, what are we having Christmas music for? Christmas is over. Because I love Christmas carols. And if you don't, to hell with you. I love carols about the greatest miracle this world has ever known, the incarnation of the eternal Son of God on that very first Christmas. So we're going to have Christmas music this week, Sunday, the following week, the following Sunday. And I have at home about 30 CDs of Christmas music. Every morning we get up, before breakfast, during breakfast, after breakfast, we listen to it. Fantastic. But so is the Word of God fantastic. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God to 1 John chapter 4. The great epistle on the ultimate objective that God has for us in the church age. And that is to have virtue, love brought to completion in our hearts. In preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word. That spiritual food, that manna from heaven, that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 1 John chapter 4. Let's start the corrected translation of verse 9. By this, the unconditional, impersonal love of God the Father for all mankind was manifested among us. Namely, that God has sent His unique Son into the world for the purpose that we might live by the agency of Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. In this is virtue love, specifically impersonal love for all. Absolutely not that we had loved God, but that He, God the Father, loved us, and He sent His Son, the propitiation for our sins. Verse 11. Beloved, royal family of God, if God so loved us, impersonal love for all mankind, first class condition, and He has so loved all mankind with impersonal love, then we also are obligated to keep on loving one another with impersonal love for all. Now that verse, verse 11, is a challenge to each one of you, a challenge to every church age believer. And the challenge comes from the verb ophelo. O-P-H-E-I-L-long-O. There's the challenge. Ophelo means obligation. We have an obligation. We are obligated. So verse 11 is a challenge to every church age believer, a challenge for every member of the royal family of God to live the unique spiritual life of the church age that God has given to each one of us. It is a challenge to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, advance to spiritual maturity, and then fulfill the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, to have virtue love brought to completion in our heart. Then, and only then, will we have the motivational virtue of personal love for God the Father, which motivates the great functional virtue of impersonal love for all mankind, so we can fulfill our obligation. We could not possibly have impersonal love for all unless we were, first of all, the beneficiaries of God's impersonal love for us. Operation Grace, the cross. In 1 John 4, 9 through 11, the Apostle John has clearly delineated the true nature of impersonal love for all, what it is. The supreme expression of impersonal love for all is God's impersonal love for all mankind, displayed in His plan of eternal salvation in Operation Grace, the cross. God's impersonal love for the world came first. It preceded and serves as a role model for man's impersonal love for all. This truth had already been introduced by the Apostle John back in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, when he says, "By this we have come to know impersonal love for all, that He, the Lord Jesus Christ, and only the Lord Jesus Christ, laid down His life for us as a substitute for the entire human race. And therefore, we are obligated to have impersonal love for all." So in 1 John 4, 9 through 11, John is now elaborating on what he taught and introduced in 1 John 3:16, and he does so in a very powerful and compelling way. And then verse 12. No one has ever seen God, that is God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. If we love one another with impersonal love for all, God abides in us. We're living the spiritual life. And His love, virtue love, has been brought to completion in our hearts. The ultimate objective of living the spiritual life in the church age. Now that phrase, no one has ever seen God. And there's an adjective, eudes, that means no, as an adjective, but when it's used as a noun, as a substantive, which is how it's used here, it means no one, nobody, no member of the human race. And then the verb to see is a special verb, theaomai, not a common word in the scriptures. Theaomai, T-H-E-A-O-M-A-I, theaomai. And theaomai means generally, literally, to see, to look at, or to behold. The accusative singular of theos, God, is the direct object of the verb theaomai. And theaomai is modified by the adverb popote, which means ever, ever, or at any time. And therefore, no member of the human race has ever seen two members of the Godhead. No one has ever seen God the Father, and no one has ever seen God the Holy Spirit. John 1:18, John 6:46. However, man has theaomai'd God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as a result of the greatest miracle that the world has ever known, the incarnation of the eternal Son of God. 1 John 1, verses 1 through 3. Theaomai means to see and to be astonished in such a way that a supernatural impression is gained. The apostles theaomai, the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in hypostatic union. They saw and they beheld His divine glory. But we have in our phrase, no one has ever seen God, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit. This is because God is Spirit. And since God is Spirit, no man has ever seen God in His essence. Through the incarnation and virgin birth, the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ, He skenaod, He tented among us His hypostatic union, and we have seen His glory, John 1:14. We saw the visible manifestation of God in Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ then declares that God is Spirit, and therefore worshipers must worship Him in spirit and in truth, John 4:24. While we cannot see God, His essence, His Spirit, we can fulfill His plan for our lives. We can live the unique spiritual life of the church age, and as a result, glorify Him to the maximum. And here's the great principle that is being communicated in 1 John. Invisible God has visible influence in the world. Invisible God has visible influence in the world. You cannot see God, but you can see His influence in that believer who is living the spiritual life. Living the spiritual life, it's a supernatural way of life, demands supernatural power for its execution. What is the power of spiritual life? God the Holy Spirit. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. Keep on being empowered by the Spirit. And what is the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is love, virtue, love. Virtue, love. The fruit of the Spirit is virtue, love. And when you're living the spiritual life, that virtue, love is manifested by God the Holy Spirit to everyone in your periphery. Everywhere you go, whether you're going out to eat, whether you go to a football game, basketball game, go to work, whether you're driving out on the freeway. It's a madhouse out there on the freeway. Everywhere you go to get a bottle of wine, total wine, you know, $2 shucks like Tim drinks over here. You manifest God, the fruit of the Spirit. And where I go to at Total Wine, there's a fella in there. He comes, as soon as he sees me, he drops everything he's doing and comes over. And he knows I'm a pastor of a church. Pastor Olson, how are you? How are you feeling? How are you doing? I said, well, I'm doing great. But he asked me one day about five times, how are you feeling? How are you feeling? Well, I thought I was doing great, but when he kept asking me, I thought, maybe I'm dying. I don't know. I look like it, I know. Warmed over death, but he's going through a lot of things in his life by way of health. And I gave him our gospel tract, gave him the little pamphlet, and explained to him, I said, the most important thing, I said, I don't know what God has for your life. He might have his plan for your life to bring you home to be with him in a short time. I don't know. And it might be for him to, you will recover from this and go on. But the most important thing is, do you have a personal relationship with the living and true God? If you read this and you believe, this is what the Word of God summarizes, you believe this, then you will have the gift of eternal life. You will live with God forever and ever, no matter what happens here. Well, the last time I went in there, I said, have you read that gospel booklet I gave you? He says, I have it right in my pickup. I have it in my pickup, and I read it all the time. I said, well, hopefully not while you're driving, but I said, well, that's great. I have it, and I read it over and over. Well, you can go to Total Wine and manifest, have visible impact. And what are they seeing? They're seeing impersonal love for all. No matter where you go, what you do, impersonal love for all. You are living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. You have had virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. Invisible God has visible impact to everyone in your periphery. You grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and you will have great visible impact in all of your relationships, everywhere you go, at work, at home, among family, friends, in your neighborhood, everywhere you go. Invisible God has visible influence. You cannot see God, but you can see His influence in that believer who is living the unique spiritual life and functions by the principle of impersonal love for all. Through living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and attaining spiritual maturity, having virtue love brought to completion in your heart, the invisible God has great visible influence through the believer who manifests impersonal love for all. So again, verse 12 says, no one has ever seen God, God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. If we love one another with impersonal love for all, God abides in us. We're living the spiritual life. And His love, virtue love, has been brought to completion in us. Now that verb in the Greek, brought to completion, is very, very important. And that is the verb teleao. That's T-E-L-E-I-O, long O, teleao. And this is the same verb that the Apostle John used in 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. The verb means to complete, to bring to completion, to bring to its goal, to accomplish the objective. And it's from this verb, teleao, that we get the adjective teleos. T-E-L-E-I-O-S. Teleos. And when this adjective teleos is used as a noun, substantively, it is a synonym for the spiritually mature believer. The teleos believer is the spiritually mature believer. And this is seen in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians 4, 11 following, verse 11, we have a number of communication gifts. And he gave some as apostles. That was the temporary spiritual gift of communication in the pre-canon period of the church age. And some as prophets, another temporary spiritual gift of communication in the pre-canon period of the church age. And some as evangelists. That's a permanent spiritual gift for communicating the gospel, the grace gospel. And that's throughout included in the post-canon period of the church age. And then some as pastor teachers, and that also is a spiritual gift of communication. And what is that, the spiritual gifts of communication? For the equipping of the saints, edification, to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, for the work of service, to the building up, edification of the body of Christ, spiritual growth, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the epinosis knowledge of the Son of God. Epinosis knowledge of the Son of God, occupation with Jesus Christ. To a teleos on air, a spiritually mature believer, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. So a teleos believer is a spiritually mature believer, Ephesians 4:13. The believer who keeps on obeying the mandates of God's Word, living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, he will accomplish the objective of spiritual maturity. And when you reach spiritual maturity, then you will have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. And this is the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. Now you will have personal love for God the Father, the great motivating virtue, which motivates impersonal love for all mankind, the great functional virtue, and occupation with Jesus Christ. The perfect tense is the intensive perfect. And the intensive perfect places the emphasis on the existing results of a past action, or on a present state or condition resulting from a past action. The passive voice is the voice of grace. The believer who lives the spiritual life by the spiritual skills receives the action of having virtue love brought to completion in his heart by the grace and the power of God. The participle combined with the to be verb eimi is something very special in the Greek. And you would never know this if all you do is study and teach from a translation, English translation. I feel sorry for communicators out there in pulpits, and they don't have a clue as to what is being presented here by God the Holy Spirit as absolute truth. They don't have a clue. There's nothing in your English translation that tells you this is a periphrastic participle. This is a periphrastic participle. You know it's something great because you can hardly say it. Periphrastic. It's a periphrastic participle. And the periphrastic participle is very, very emphatic. Now, I've told you this, and you look at me. Periphrasis means circumlocution. Well, I thought I'd give you another word. It means circumlocution. It's a roundabout way of saying what could be said more simply and briefly by a single verb. But that's not what God the Holy Spirit wanted put down. By using the periphrastic participle, the Apostle John is putting the spotlight on the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, to have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. That's what this is doing. The spotlight is put on the ultimate objective of the spiritual life through a periphrastic participle. The preposition and plus the dative plural of the personal pronoun ego, in us, in our hearts. 1 John 2, 3-5, which when John taught this, and by means of this we know that we have come to know him, know God, personal love for God and occupation with Christ, if we obey his mandates. Verse 4, the one who keeps on contending, claiming, maintaining that I know God, personal love for God and occupation with Christ, but he does not obey his mandates, is a liar. And the absolute truth of the Word of God is not in him. But if anyone keeps on observing, fulfilling, obeying his Word, the mandates of God's Word, the mandate to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, then the love of God, virtue love, has truly been brought to completion. Teleao has truly been brought to completion in his heart. And by this, we know, we realize, understand, and appreciate that we are abiding in him. So no one has ever seen God, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit. If we love one another with impersonal love for all, God abides in us. We're living the spiritual life. And his love, virtue love, has been brought to completion in our hearts. One. Invisible God has visible influence. Invisible God has visible influence. No one has ever seen God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And we haven't seen Jesus Christ. He's been seated at the right hand of the Father ever since his resurrection, ascension, and session. No one has ever seen God. He is invisible. But the invisible God has visible influence through the church age believer living the unique spiritual life and having virtue love brought to completion in his heart. Invisible God has visible influence through the church age believer living the unique spiritual life and having virtue love brought to completion in his heart. Two, the invisible influence of impersonal love for all has great visible impact to those in the periphery of the spiritually mature believer. The invisible influence of impersonal love for all has great visible impact to those in the periphery of the spiritually mature believer. Three, you cannot see God, but you can see His influence in that believer who is living the spiritual life and functions under impersonal love for all. You cannot see God, but you can see His influence in that believer who is living the spiritual life and functions under impersonal love for all. Four, invisible God has provided a divine influence the unique spiritual life of the church age, which is visible. Invisible God has provided a divine influence the unique spiritual life of the church age, which is visible. People see it. Now, they see it from the winner believer living the spiritual life and having virtue love brought to completion in his heart. They don't see it from most believers today because they're living in Satan's cosmic system. Most believers, you can't tell them from unbelievers. You cannot tell most believers from unbelievers. They're exactly doing the exact same thing as unbelievers. This is the winner believer, the one who is living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, the one who has grown up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, the one who has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. So invisible God has provided a divine influence, the unique spiritual life of the church age, and that is visible. Five, virtue love brought to completion in your heart results in fulfilling the royal family honor code. Virtue love brought to completion in your heart results in fulfilling the royal family honor code. Six, the filling of the Spirit, spiritual skill number one, and consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine, spiritual skill number two, through the teaching ministry of the Spirit, results in virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And these are the mandates. We've been given mandates. That's why 1 John 2, 3 through 5 is so important. But unfortunately, a lot of believers are like verse 4, the one who keeps on contending, claiming, maintaining that I know God, personal love for God, and occupation with Christ, but he does not obey his mandates. He's a liar. And the absolute truth of the Word of God is not in him. What are the mandates? Keep on being filled with the Spirit. Keep on being powered by God the Holy Spirit. Grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the habit of some is. And most, the habit of most is. Those are the mandates. And you say you know God, I say you're a liar. And the truth is not in you. Invisible God has provided a divine influence, the unique spiritual life of the church age. Point six, the filling of the Spirit and consistent, faithful metabolization of doctrine results in virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. Seven, maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart develops personal love for God the Father, which motivates impersonal love for all. Maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart develops personal love for God the Father, which motivates impersonal love for all. Eight, the power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age is the invisible God the Holy Spirit. The power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age is the invisible God the Holy Spirit. Nine, but the invisible influence of God the Holy Spirit and metabolized doctrine in your heart is visible to all those around you through the function of impersonal love for all. But the invisible influence of God the Holy Spirit and metabolized doctrine in your heart is visible to all those around you through the function of impersonal love for all. Ten, the fruit of the Spirit is virtue love. The fruit of the Spirit is virtue love. Turn over to Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit is virtue love. Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is agape. A-G-A-P, long E. Agape. Virtue love. Now when you have a series like this, grocery list, the first word, all the ones that follow are a part of that first word. The first word is agape. The first word is virtue love. Everything that follows are characteristics of virtue love. But the fruit of the Spirit is virtue love. Happiness, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. All of those are characteristics of virtue love. And against such things, there is no law. 11, without the ministry of God the Holy Spirit, without the filling of the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 5:18, apart from the teaching ministry of the Spirit, walking by the Spirit, growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, there is neither perception of Bible doctrine nor its visible influence and impact in impersonal love for all. Without the ministry of God the Holy Spirit, without the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit, there is neither perception of Bible doctrine nor its visible influence and impact in impersonal love for all. 12, the greatest visible impact directed toward mankind throughout the world is impersonal love for all. The greatest visible impact directed toward mankind, directed toward the world, is impersonal love for all. for all. So again, verse 12 says, no one has ever seen God, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. He's invisible. But if we love one another with impersonal love for all, God abides in us. We are living the spiritual life. And His love, virtue love, has been brought to completion in our hearts. All right, let's take a look at this again. One. Impersonal love for all is the visible manifestation of the invisible spiritual life. Impersonal love for all is the visible manifestation of the invisible spiritual life. Two. Impersonal love for all only exists in the believer living the spiritual life. It is not in the believer living in Satan's cosmic system. Living by the sin nature. Impersonal love for all only exists in the believer living the spiritual life, not the believer living in Satan's cosmic system. Three, the believer living the spiritual life will have unlimited opportunities to have visible impact through impersonal love for all. The believer living the spiritual life will have unlimited opportunities to have visible impact through impersonal love for all. Four, this results in glorifying God to the maximum. This results in glorifying God to the maximum. Five, impersonal love for all is the greatest visible impact from the invisible God. Impersonal love for all is the greatest visible impact from the invisible God. Six, however, believers who are not living the spiritual life, but are living in the cosmic system, they have no visible impact. However, believers who are not living the spiritual life but are living in the cosmic system, they are living by the trends of the sin nature, sin, human good and evil, oh, lots of human good and evil. Everybody's impressed with that. They have no visible impact. Seven, believers who neglect or reject Bible doctrine will never have the invisible become real to them. Believers who neglect or reject Bible doctrine will never have the invisible become real to them. What do I mean by that? They will never have personal love for God the Father. They will never have impersonal love for all. They will never have occupation with Jesus Christ. They will have no filling of the Spirit. And therefore, they will have no visible impact. Believers who neglect or reject Bible doctrine will never have the invisible the invisible God become real to them. They will never fulfill the mandate to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. They will never fulfill the mandate of impersonal love for all mankind. They will never fulfill the mandate to grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They will never know what it is to have occupation with Jesus Christ. They will never know what it is to share the happiness of God. They will never know what it is. They will never know that every day is Christmas. Every day will not be Christmas for them. Every day will be miserable for them. Miserable, miserable, miserable. So verse 12, no one has ever seen God, God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. If we love one another with impersonal love for all, God abides in us. We're living the spiritual life. And His love, virtue love, has been brought to completion in our hearts. All right. Now, that brings us to 1 John 4, verses 13 to 21. And in this paragraph, we have the dynamics of the spiritual life. 1 John 4, 13 to 21, the dynamics of the spiritual life. Verse 13 begins with, by this know we that we dwell in Him. Thundering diction of the King James. Here we go. By this know we that we dwell in Him. We have the preposition and, plus the dative singular of the demonstrative pronoun houtos, plus the present active indicative of gnosko, plus the conjunction hati, with the present active indicative of meno, our friend in 1 John, the prepositional phrase and, plus the dative singular of the intensive pronoun autos. And plus the dative singular of the demonstrative pronoun houtos, it's correctly translated by this. N plus houtos, by this, specifically by this, refers to the manifestation of impersonal love for all. By this includes all that we have been studying about the spiritual life and virtue love. By this includes having the great motivational virtue of personal love for God the Father. By this includes the great functional virtue of having impersonal love for all mankind. By this includes occupation with Jesus Christ. And then we have the verb gnosko. G-I-N long O, S-K long O, gnosko. Oh, first of all, one, gnosko means to know or to come to know. To know or to come to know. Secondly, it also means to learn, to ascertain, to find out. To learn, to ascertain, to find out. Third, it also means to realize or to understand. Four, this is the result of spiritual skill number one of the spiritual life, filling of the Spirit, combined with spiritual skill number two of the spiritual life, the teaching ministry of the Spirit, which is maximum knowledge of Bible doctrine, the doctrine of virtue love. So this is the result of spiritual skill number one of the spiritual life, filling of the Spirit, combined with spiritual skill number two of the spiritual life, the teaching ministry of the Spirit, which is maximum knowledge of the doctrine of virtue love. Gnosko is the verb of dicendi, knowing, and after verbs of dicendi, the conjunction hati is correctly translated that. It introduces an object clause. For example, what we have come to know and realize, namely that we are minnowing in him. And the verb minnow, well, we're very familiar with this used by John in 1 John. M-E-N-O, minnow. This is the Apostle John's favorite word for the royal family of God living the unique spiritual life of the church age. Meno means to remain, to continue, to abide. The present tense has linear action, keep on abiding. The active voice, the church age believer living the spiritual life and having virtue love brought to completion in his heart, performs the action of the verb. The indicative mood is declarative, presenting this from the viewpoint of reality, certainty, and fact. And then we have the preposition en plus the dative singular of autos, in him. We are abiding in him. That is, we are living the spiritual life. So by this impersonal love for all, we have come to know, realize that we are abiding in him. We are living the spiritual life, and he in us. This is the conjunction chi plus the intensive pronoun autos, used as the third person singular personal pronoun, plus the prepositional phrase en plus the dative plural of the personal pronoun ego. The conjunction chi is the connective chi. You translate that and then we have the intensive pronoun autos, but in Koine Greek, in classical Greek, the intensive pronoun was always an intensive pronoun, but not in Koine Greek. Most of the time in Koine Greek, common Greek, it is used as a third person personal pronoun, as it is in our verse, and is correctly translated he. He refers to God the Holy Spirit, specifically the filling of the Spirit as the divine power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. And then we have N plus the dative plural of ego in us. He, God the Holy Spirit, abides in us. The universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit as the base of operation for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit. So N plus the dative plural of ego. He, God the Holy Spirit, abides in us. And that is the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit as the base of operation for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit to live the spiritual life. So, corrected translation. By this impersonal love for all, we have come to know and to realize that we are abiding in Him, living the spiritual life, and he abides in us because he hath given us his Spirit. Now we go from the hati used after a verb of decendi. Now we have its causal use. So we have the conjunction hati plus the perfect active indicative of didomi plus the dative plural of the personal pronoun ego plus the preposition ek, with the genitive singular of pneuma, with a definite article, and the genitive singular of autos once again. This time, conjunction ha t is a causal conjunction, correctly translated, because, and then we have the verb didomi, which looks like this in the Greek, D-I-D, long O-M-I, didomi. Didomi is the verb to give. And when God is the subject, as he is in our verse, it means to give, to grant, to send. The perfect tense is the intensive perfect. Again, in the intensive perfect, the emphasis is placed on the existing results of a past action, or a present state or condition resulting from a past action. The active voice, God the Father, performs the action of sending God the Holy Spirit to every church age believer as the power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. The indicative mood is declarative, presenting this from the viewpoint of absolute certainty and reality. The dative plural of the personal pronoun ego, to us. to us. The dative case is the dative of indirect object. The indirect object, the ones in whose interest and benefit something is given. God the Father sent God the Holy Spirit to the church age believer for our interest and benefit as the supernatural power to live this unique spiritual life. The preposition ek plus the genitive singular of pneuma with the definite article and autos is used by the Apostle John in a very special, emphatic way. Now, Arnton Gingrich, the Greek Lexicon, page 235, tells us that the preposition ek is used in our verse as a periphrasis. A periphrasis for the partitive genitive. The living and true God is one in essence, but three in personality. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three in personality, but they all have one, the same essence. This periphrasis is emphasizing God the Father sending the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, as the divine power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. And it's correctly translated of His Spirit. So, corrected translation. By this impersonal love for all, we have come to know, realize, that we are abiding in Him, living the spiritual life, and He abides in us, because He has sent to us for our interest and benefit of His Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, the universal indwelling of the Holy Spirit as the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit, the power to live this unique spiritual life. Now, there are many, many passages that relate to this. I'm just excited that I got through that verse as fast as I did. So we'll pick it up at this point next time. And we'll look at, there are so many great passages on the fact that God the Father has promised to send, even in the period when Jesus Christ, before the church age began. And He pointed out that right now, God the Holy Spirit is beside you, the endowment of the Spirit, but in the future, He will be in you, the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit, beginning at the church age. Well, John 14, 16 and 17, John 14, 26, John 15, 26, John 16, 12 to 14, 1 John 3, 24, all of these are saying what we have here in this verse. Father, we thank You, sir, for Your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.